Good morning, everybody. It's morning over here. We're doing another morning recording session, which means, unfortunately, there's not going to be alcohol involved. But we're back. We're back to show you or talk to you how not to suck at divorce. If you don't know what to say, then that's what you say.
When trying to right your wrongs emotionally, usually court isn't the way to do it.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce. You ready to do this, Morgan?
I was born ready.
All righty, let's party. Okay, so I am still lying in bed, but I am dressed and I'm holding my coffee. Where are you at, girl?
I'm always in the closet, still in the closet. So if anyone is looking for me, that's where I am. Unfortunately, my office and other areas of my home are not conducive to recording a podcast. So I will be relegated to recording in a closet.
You know, if I were at home, I would be in my closet, but I'm actually at Steve's right now. And his closets are like the old kind with like the sliding doors. So I can't actually get in to a closet to record. So I'm like kind of hiding in like a corner of a bedroom and on a bed. So hopefully my sound is fine. Okay. Before we get into the meat of our episode, which I'm excited about because today we're doing something a little bit different, which we'll tell you guys about in a second. Let's go ahead and talk about the highlights and the pitfalls of our week, otherwise known as the rom-com and horror film.
The rom-com and the horror movie.
Let's go.
You go first, babes.
All right. So the highlight of the week is, you know, something that we've been working hard on, which is getting the feedback we've been getting on this podcast. And something that I'm super proud about is all of the countries that are listening to us on this podcast. So I just wanted to say thank you. And I'll just name a few to our listeners in obviously the United States, but South Africa, UK, Canada, Australia, Norway, Trinidad, and Fiji. Just good morning, everybody, or good evening, wherever you are. And thank you for listening. You guys, this is why we do it for you.
For you, for all of you in Fiji. I'm wondering if we've got anybody in Wyoming yet.
You know what?
Their grassroots effort reach the great state of Wyoming. Good morning to everyone except those in Wyoming.
They're busy. They're so busy over there. So obviously, if anyone's watching the news, there's been a lot of difficult things going on in the world, and we don't have to touch on it exactly, but I think everyone's feeling that horror this week. Whenever you listen to this episode, I'm talking about the issues with Russia and Ukraine. And, you know, when those types of things pop up and you see all of the devastation, for me, sometimes this stuff that we're talking about and divorce and what people are going through seems really trivial when you're thinking about what other people are going through in other parts of the world. So just know we're thinking about you and we, you know, don't take any of that lightly. And that's my horror of the week. I think it's probably most people's horror of this week.
Yesterday was a hard day. Yesterday, just to give you guys frame of reference, yesterday was Thursday, and it was kind of the morning when everything really started to unfold. The attacks like really got underway, and it was tough. I mean, I know like in my line of business with all of my image consulting and branding strategy work, I was reaching out to clients all morning saying, you got to hold off on whatever kind of lighter content you're planning on putting out there, because that's not what the world needs right now. And it just, and I know, you know, Morgan and I were actually going to promote our last podcast yesterday, and we decided to hold off. And it's challenging, I think, for people when you're so overwhelmed and there's a myriad of emotions and you don't really know what to say. And that's something that came up a lot yesterday for me, where people were like, well, then what do I say? What do I do? And I told everybody, you just tell the truth. If you don't know what to say, then that's what you say. I'm feeling consumed. I don't know what to say. And you know, there is a correlation between that and what you go through when you get a divorce. You know, it's, there's a lot. Okay. So quickly, my rom-com and horror, my horror, I'll start there, was I had a really challenging week in the world of co-parenting. Not a good week. I felt like I needed Mrs. Randy Heller in my doctor, Mrs. Randy Heller. Don't get it twisted. In my back pocket or on my shoulder. Like, remember when we were little and those, some girls had like those Polly Pocket toys?
Yep.
Yeah. I wish I had like a Polly Pocket version of Dr. Randy Heller with
did
me.
Did you re-listen to our episode to get you through that?
I had her, you know what? I have her ingrained in my brain. I have everything. Like, she's right there. But you know, it takes two, to tango.
So
challenging, but that's okay. My rom-com. So yesterday was my dear friend and business partner's birthday. And earlier in the week, I took her three children shopping for her. And I took them each individually. And it was just really sweet watching her kids just work so hard to do something nice for their mom. It really meant a lot. It was really touching, and just loved it. And I'll hold on to those good feelings for the next few days. So until somebody crosses me and then it's over.
All right. So what are we doing today? What are we talking about?
Okay, guys. So we took it to social media this week because we've had so much great feedback of people reaching out saying, oh, the show is helping me, it's entertaining me, it's this and it's that. And I said, well, actually, no, Morgan, you're the one I think that brought up, like, you know, I wonder what our listeners are really thinking. Like, everyone says they love it, but what else could we do for them? So I took it to my social media and I said, okay, this week on our show, we're going to answer your questions. What's something that you want to know about? And so that's what we're doing today. We're going to go through some of the top responses we received and we're going to talk about it. So let's jump in. Someone who asked something, which I think is just really interesting and something that Morgan, you can speak to on a professional level and a personal level, is how does one truly support a friend who's going through a divorce when they themselves are happily married, because they feel like it's kind of a tricky ground?
Yeah, that's a loaded question, I feel like, because I've been there personally, but I also see it legally. I think the first and foremost, just lending your ear, always being there, et cetera. But I do say that with a caveat, because people who are getting divorced, I know you're going through so much more than you ever expected, but remember, when you unload on maybe your best friend or your mom or whoever it is, it takes a lot out of them too. So you, and that's something that Andrea, maybe you can comment on too, because you have to be careful with how much you're unloading on somebody. They're not your therapist, they're your friend. So use them as a friend, you know, give them your ear. I know it feels awkward because you're happily married, but you know, take them out to dinner, have some coffees with them one-on-one. And I think that people forget that just because you're happily married and your friend is going through a divorce doesn't mean your friend doesn't like your spouse or all of a sudden doesn't want to be around your spouse. Yes, you need some one-on-one time, but I don't think that excluding your friend from what you always did, maybe it was hanging out with spouses and children or whatever it is, don't exclude them. Make them feel like it's as normal as possible. You shouldn't feel bad for being married.
Also, typically, your soon-to-be divorced friend doesn't want you to be divorced just because they're going through it. I think that, however, you might run into a period with your friend who's going through this, you know, turmoil where they are kind of like, for lack of a better term, like hating on marriages, right? And making a lot of negative comments. And I can imagine that if you're in a happy place, that that's got to be kind of awkward and maybe obnoxious at times to have to hear. it's okay to distance yourself a little bit. It really is. And I say this as someone, you know, I was in a relationship for the majority of my divorce process. And I had a lot of people in my world who came to me actually for support. Even when I was going through it, they were going through something and needed it. And I had to distance myself because sometimes it is overwhelming. It's a lot. I think that you don't want to abandon somebody, but you don't need to jump in and solve all of their problems. You also need to be able to assess. Morgan said, you know, you're not their therapist. Are they seeing a therapist? Are they doing everything that they need to be doing to really take care of themselves? Because, you know, it could be a problem if they're not.
I agree completely, Andrea. And one of the other things that I would say as a friend is, remember, you're getting one side of the story. So if things don't sound quite right, you need to call them on it and call them on it lightly, gently. But maybe when I say call them on it, ask questions. When things don't seem quite right, ask the questions. But did you really mean to say this? Or like, why would you say it this way? Or why are you thinking like that? Maybe leave them.
Also be careful. I think you have to be careful about that, because if you can sense that someone is like in a really touchy, weird place and they're kind of erratic and all over the place, I think my advice would be kind of distance yourself first. Because if there are, if somebody's already like, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then, and you know, girl, I don't think he hit you with a bat, you know, whatever. Instead of like saying that, like, did he really kill a chicken and swing it over your head? Or did you mean to say that he told you to get out of his face? You know, I kind of feel like sometimes we have to know, reminds me of like when we had our friend Rob on, like know when to hold him, know when to fold him. Like, I think sometimes even in a friendship, you have to say, you know what, I'm going to talk to Brenda tomorrow.
You know what I mean? Agreed. I mean, you have to assess mental health at all points, but I'm saying if you've got the best friend who's leaning on pretty much only you and you're listening over and over again, and this is maybe the 17th conversation that you're having, and you're like, you know what, let's just call her Brenda. Brenda, some of these things just don't sound quite right. Sometimes a friend needs to be delivered in the right direction a little bit, just to get a sense of, oh, wow, let me just take a step back. Because otherwise, sometimes you tend to empower that friend of sometimes beliefs that may not be 100% like Andrea just said, that there's a chicken swinging around. It's a fine line. It's a fine line. I don't think that there's ever a great direction that's 100% going to work every time, especially when you're dealing with trauma and exhaustion and mental health potentially, and just overall emotions.
I think it's also hard. I'm thinking about this, you know, if you're in a happy marriage and you have a good friend who's going through something not so happy, it's our natural instinct to want to go to our husbands and say, oh shit, I had lunch with Brenda today. Things aren't. And I think that makes it complicated, because then sometimes too, I think our spouses feel a tiny bit threatened when you are socializing closely with somebody who's going through a divorce, you know, like they think it's like contagious or something, or, you know, like, oh, don't get any ideas, Allison. I don't want that Brenda telling you about the chickens, you know, like, right. I think it's hard, and I have no advice in this department, because I don't want to say, don't tell your spouse. I just think that it is boundary central. Be so aware. It's a tough situation. The other
also,
thing.
One other thing is, let's just say we're talking about Brenda and Allison, and it could be Bob and James, you know, but let's leave it Brenda and Allison. So Brenda's really going to town on all the divorce things to Allison. And Allison goes back and tells Bob, her husband, all of this stuff. Well, Bob could be in a really tight situation too, which we don't want to put Bob in necessarily, because what if Bob was really good friends with this couple and James is his buddy? Now you're putting a really big divide in potentially your own marriage. So like Andrea said, boundaries.
It's so hard. There's a way to do this, but you just have to be smart. And again, we're not therapists. You might not be a therapist. If you have a therapist, this might be a good topic to bring up with a licensed professional and say, hey, therapist person, I've got a little bit of a sitch. My good friend, Brenda, my good friend, James, is going through a little divorce, and I'm not quite sure how to support them and protect myself.
Agreed. All right. Moving on to question two. I got a question actually, which is
kind of an interesting
one. Let's do it. So this person asked me, what is the best way to organize your documents for divorce? And I think it's a valid question because the documents can be really overwhelming. So I'll give you a few ideas of ways to do it. Personally, I'm a folders person. So I would get a bunch of folders and label them. So if it's, you know, Chase Bank or Bank Lumi statements, put it on the top. This is the bank statements, and these are the dates of the statements that I'm putting into this folder, and keep all these different folders. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is similar to that, but also be tracking it on a computer. So I'm handing over my Chase Bank statements from this date to this date. The next thing I'm handing over are my tax returns from this date to this date. So it basically keeps it organized so that you know what you've tendered and what you have and what you don't have.
True. I guess you could also, you know, I mean, I did not do this. I'm not really sure why. I'm typically organized, but I didn't. But if I had to do it again, not that I want to get divorced again, but you know, creating a file on your computer and maybe naming it something other than like divorce documents, like something that's not so like dun, 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 you know, maybe you label it the start of something better, you know, or whatever. And that's where you can throw everything. So if somebody asks you, you know, let me take a look at this for you, or let me, whatever, you have everything sitting right there. Kind of like how I know we all have, Morgan and I are a big fan of albums, you know, for all of our pictures on our phones, like a version of that.
Right. That's a good idea. And I also would suggest, this is kind of dovetailing on the question. It wasn't necessarily asked, but I do want to tell you one thing, which is do not tender any of your personal documents to your attorney or anyone else, unless you're doing it one of two ways. One, your attorney's office is sending you a secure link to upload your documents, or two, you've worked out with your attorney's office a way to send the documents that are password protected. There should be never a time that you're emailing documents without a password or without a secure link for obvious reasons.
Wait, expand on that. Why would people be sending documents to other, like, what do you mean?
So let's just say your attorney's office says, all right, I need the last 4 years of your tax returns, which is totally normal. I need your bank statements. This is your attorney speaking. What I'm saying is don't just put them in an email and send them over to your lawyer's office. Ask your lawyer's office for a secure link, or ask to send them in an email with a password protection so that nobody can intercept. It's more about cybersecurity and your documents being secure.
Yeah, I totally did that. Oh God. Just when I thought things couldn't get any worse, now I'm going to get cyber hacked. Oh, guys. Thanks, Morgan. How many times do we have to say this, or do I have to say this, that your attorney matters? Who you hire matters, because who else is going to look out for you on this stuff? But unless you're listening to our podcast.
Totally.
I wouldn't know.
Is this another way you sucked at divorce?
You. Let me count the ways. Oh God, I totally did not know that. Ugh, I feel so gross right now. Okay, guys. Blech. Okay. Did we answer that question?
We answered it. Moving on.
Good. Moving on. Okie dokie. I had someone who wrote me something that you know what? It was actually our good friend, Mr. Rob Roseman, asked a question. And this is something that Rob and I spoke about when I was on his podcast, which is you're going through it, right? You're going through it. You're feeling all forms of ick and overwhelmed. And you see somebody and they say, hey, how are you? And you're like, deer in headlights, you know, because you can't think of anything positive to say. And you know that they don't really want to know how you are and what you're going through. What can you and Morgan tell people? What's a great way to field that question when you really don't want to get into it, but you also don't want to evade. You know, we hate when people say, oh, I'm fine, I'm great. And you're not. But what do?
Well, let me ask a follow-up question. So you see somebody and they say, how are you? Does this person know you're getting a divorce?
Why don't we assume that they know you're getting a divorce, but, you know, they're not, maybe it's not your best friend. It's someone, okay, I'll frame this up. Let's say that you're me, you're going through a divorce. And let's say that it is a fellow mom at school pickup, right? We're friendly, we're not best friends. And she comes up to me and says, hey, Andrea, and look, gives me like the eyes and says, how are you?
Got it.
What would you say if it were you?
Well, I'm going to answer how I would tell my client. So what I would say is you always have to measure your emotional state, right? Because inherently humans are curious. So they may be truly just asking because that's all they know what to say and they saw you, or they may be truly asking because they're prying for information. So you have to know, okay, you know what? Today is a really bad day for me emotionally. So if I have to lie because that's the quickest way to get out of this emotionally and just say, I'm okay, then do it. If you want to let them know you're acknowledging that they know that you're going through some tough times, but you kind of want to cut it off, I would suggest you say something like, you know, it's been a tough year, but I'm doing okay. Thank you for asking. If you say thank you for asking, it kind of cuts off the conversation and shows somebody that we're moving on. If you really want to get into it, you would say, I'm having a tough time. And then you know that the fielding of the questions are coming next. And it's like, do you really want to tell this person all your dirty laundry? If you do, that's okay. Right?
No. Don't. I'm going to jump in here and tell you what to do. Don't.
Yeah. Tell us your experience on this issue.
No. Here's the thing, guys. You gotta always look out for number one.
Yes. Okay.
How are you going to feel after you get back in the car and you divulged your dirty secrets. That was not the right words at all, but maybe your dirty
secrets.
You know, yeah. But I mean, I kind of mean more like,
your emotional baggage,
your right? heart, though, your yes. real stuff, because it's not like we're not talking about going on Facebook and you're writing all your stuff. Like that's airing your dirty laundry. I'm talking about like, you're not great. And someone catches you and says, how are you? And you're like, and you can feel the tears burning in the back of your eyes, right? Because you are not in a great place. Are you going to feel better when you get in your car and drive off that you told someone at your son's school about your stuff? Or are you going to feel like, oh, why did I do that? I need to protect myself. I want to keep things closer, you know, whatever. I love what you said about
also, right? Let's just call the person James, right? So James asks you
that. The subject or the person who's asking?
James is the asker. So James says that. I think you have to also say emotionally, are you going to get back in your car and be like, oh, gross. Now James is going to either talk trash about me, tell his wife about me, tell his best friend about me. Somehow it's going to get back to my ex, or now James is just going to look at me differently. If that even crosses your mind, do not tell James anything.
Yeah, I don't really think that way. I mean, anyone who knows me or follows me knows that I share a lot. I think about it more from the perspective of, is this story going to help anybody? Or am I just telling someone how I feel? So it's like emotional masturbation.
Okay.
Seriously.
But.
Seriously, like why? Like, I think a lot of times people, when they ask how you are, they care a little bit, but they really are just trying to think of something to say. They see you, they see that person and they're like, ah, fuck, that's the one who's going through the divorce. Hey, Andrea, how are you? Please don't talk to me. Please don't talk to me. Please don't talk to me. Right? And then you're like, I'm not good. Like, oh God, now we're all in this. We can't get out of it. I really love what you said the first time, Morgan, where you said, respond how you want to respond. And then you say, thanks so much for asking.
Right. Cuts off the conversation. And I will say too, you know, most of our listeners, you are, I think that's why people love you, Andrea, is you're just so open, you know, you're like an open book. So of course, right. when someone sees Andrea in the store, it's going to be like, Andrea, what'd you eat for lunch today? What have you been doing? How are you feeling emotionally? Most people aren't like that. Most people are much more closed off. So the thought of maybe somebody even approaching them and saying this, where you may feel like, oh, which way do I want to go? Some people may want to literally do a full-blown nosedive back into their car and drive off at 1,000 miles an hour.
Totally. I mean, and truthfully, I am that way. Like, I don't behave that way in public because I feel like I share so much, like, on my platform and, you know, I should, like, talk, but internally, I have been known to hide in cereal aisles away from people because I'm like, you know, if I'm having a bad day, I don't like it. I think you also don't have to say fine. I think you can say something to the effect of, you know, oh, hey, James, you know what? There are good days and bad days. And you know, today's not fabulous. Tomorrow might be better. Thank you so much for asking. How are you?
Totally. You switch it right on them.
And then, yep. and then just be polite and smile. You know, or you can always say decline to comment. Bring it back to your favorite game on your favorite podcast.
That's right. I love that. Because if you say decline to comment right in their face, they're going to be so confused at what just happened. It's going to be like deer in headlights. So there's going to be no more conversation.
Tell them you plead the fifth. No, I mean, just say, you know what? Today's not the right day for me to answer that question, but thank you so much for asking.
One thing I wouldn't recommend, I've had clients do this and then it gets more awkward, is they say, I don't want to talk about it. It's happened. And I have one client who that is the reaction, the only reaction that he has. And so somebody is trying to just either make small talk or really genuinely wants to know how he's doing. And he says, I don't want to talk about it. And then what happens is the conversation gets so awkward that then these two people are avoiding each other from now on because it's really awkward. So try not to do that. I don't want to talk about it and I hate you. Goodbye.
Oh my God. All
right. Moving on to the next question. You know what?
There's gotta be a course somewhere or a person, an expert who does help you, you know, in all awkward situations, you know, like I'm sure that this kind of thing comes up all the time, not even just around divorce, around anything, right? Someone knows that you lost your job. Someone knows, you know, that something really traumatic is going on in your family. Right. And it's like, oh God, now I've got to go talk to James in the carpool line. And, you know, James, steer clear. We don't want any
off.
Yeah, lay off. Get a life, James. Okay. Let me grab my phone so I can read this next question, which I have a feeling we're really gonna dig into because it was a lot. I'm not going to read it verbatim, but let me just get the overall feel across to everybody. So this next question is about pain and resentment. It's about pain and resentment based around feeling like they got a whole lot less than what they deserved on their MSA. They also they're claiming, I don't want to say claiming, but the person that they divorced was, in their eyes, very controlling. They used our favorite / least favorite descriptor, which is a narcissist. Narcissist, abusive ex. Do I spend more money in court to fight this and risk getting even less from a judge's decision? Or do I just go through the attorneys and mediators, and what do I do? I'm not really sure. It kind of feels like a lose-lose. I'm going to get screwed over and I'm already feeling resentment. What do I do? There's a lot there.
There's a lot there. Okay. So let me break it down for our listeners too. I think what they're talking about is that they feel like they're getting screwed over on the money piece of the divorce. They feel like this person who they're labeling a narcissist has basically taken advantage of them to the point where they have to decide between getting less money and just walking away, or going to court and hopefully getting more money and maybe some vindication. Is that how you're reading it, Andrea?
Yeah, I think that really, and I think that this particular listener sees, you know, understands that you lose when you fight and fight and fight to the point where you know that the attorneys aren't going to be able to resolve it and it goes in front of a judge, right? And I think this person is saying, I understand that giving these big issues over to a judge is you're just playing like, you know, not judicial roulette, but some, you know, like civil court, family court roulette, right? And you don't know, however the judge rules, that's it, baby. I feel like it's more of like an emotionally based question, you know, like I kind of feel like this particular one is saying, I know that I'm not going to get what I want to get or what I feel like I am deserving of. And I am divorcing somebody who is horrible. And this is hurting me because on top of everything else that I have survived, now I'm walking away with very little or less than I should be.
Yes. And you know, one thing, there's a few things that I say to people in this situation. One is, no matter what, court isn't going to give you, or a trial isn't going to give you this vindication that you hope for. You hope that every wrong that you've ever survived is going to be righted in court. And I will tell you, after trials and court, yeah, there's a few things that you'll win, but you also will lose some things, and that's inevitable. And you're never going to feel 100% vindicated like every wrong was righted in court. So I always start there. So know that when you're weighing your options. The second thing that I always say to people is, let's look at the dollars and cents. Let's take the emotions out of it and let's talk about this like a business decision, okay? Take all the things that she or he did wrong to you during the marriage. Take all of it during the divorce and put it over to the side for just 5 minutes. And let's look at the dollars and cents here. Let's figure out, if you go to court and you fight about these three things, how much more could you win monetarily? And ask your lawyer to do that calculation. And then also ask your lawyer, if I win these, what's the likelihood I could win these? But if I do win these, what is it going to cost me in lawyer fees, in court fees? What's it going to cost? That's a good way to take the emotions out and decide whether it's worth going forward. Because emotionally, you're probably not going to get what you want to make you feel better. And then it comes down to dollars and cents of whether it's worth it. It's a risk reward analysis. And I always like to do that when people are deciding whether to cut bait, for lack of a better term, or go forward in court.
Another thing that you have to weigh is the emotional tax, right?
Yes. Yes.
I went through this. So my father paid for my divorce. And I remember calling him several times saying, okay, this is what we're looking at now. Do you want to send more money to this attorney to deal with this or not? And, you know, my dad and I would have a conversation, and then he would give me his response. And then sometimes, I think twice, I would call back and I said, I'm changing my mind. I don't want to do it. I don't want to fight on this. It's not worth it. I'm tired. I analyzed everything. I saw that at a certain point, are you fighting just because you so desperately want to win something,
right?
Or is this something that's really important? And I'll tell you, the only thing in a divorce, if you have children, that really and truly matters is the parenting agreement. Everything else is, unless there's millions of dollars at stake, like really stuff that is going to change the rest of your life, it's probably not worth the time that you will spend and the money you will spend arguing over it. You're not going to feel better. Money doesn't really make you happy. It's not going to heal you. You're not going to walk away from it, you know, saying, wow, that devastation, it's gone now. It's not going to be gone.
One of the other things to consider is, you know, I hear a lot about these kind of stories where it's, she ruined my life. She's the narcissist. She put us in credit card debt, took out IRAs behind my back. She didn't pay the mortgage. Now we're in mortgage trouble. We're in, you know, we owe so many people that we just can't get out from under it. And she did all of this and I had no idea. So now I want to right those wrongs. And I understand that emotionally. And that's what you're talking about, Andrea. Emotionally, yes, you want to right those wrongs. You want to say, I didn't have anything to do with tanking our family. Therefore, you should pay me back. But what I say to people is, I agree, you were wronged. But at the end of the day, if you got a judgment that said from the court, you get 100% of this back in your pocket, a judgment is worthless if the person has no money. You cannot get money from a rock. And what is it going to cost you to get this piece of paper potentially that says this person owes you money? So it's something to consider when trying to right your wrongs emotionally. Usually court isn't the way to do it.
Nope. Gotta let it go. I mean, I went through this, guys. I've been very vocal about the fact that I got divorced with zero. We're talking about an actual zero. No money, nothing. Thing. And that was really hard for me for like a few days. And then I had to let it go because I wasn't going to let it ruin the rest of my life. And you know what? It was on both sides. I remember my ex-husband wanted to fight me in court because he had charges on his credit card from when I was redecorating my office in the house. And he says, it was something like, she spent, I can't remember what the number was, $5,000, but I don't even think that was accurate. Something from Amazon. And I'm gonna get this money back. And I remember all these emails I got from the attorney about this. And they were like, I don't understand, but you were married, but she didn't ask. And it was like, well, you're not. And I remember, I mean, at some point, I think his attorney had to say to them, like, you're not going to get this money back, bro. Like, it's done. Like, you, like, it's not, you know, it's not going to happen for you. And that was something that obviously got dropped. But I think we all have these like moments during our divorce where it's like, okay, let's look at this. How much money are we spending on emails to our attorney talking about Amazon charges? Is this really worth it? And then also the emotional side of it. Do I want to continue to carry this grudge about drapes? Or am I going to let the curtains fall where they fall and just move the fuck on with my life? You know, and I'm telling you, like, I had to do it too. I had, you know, my attorney, whom we all know I was not in love with, said to me at one point, the same phrase that you just said, Morgan, you can't get money from a rock. So, you know, it's all there. And a big thing is to this particular listener, it does suck. And we're so sorry, but
awful.
But you have to be able to heal from it, because carrying that ickiness and that weight, that's going to be the price you pay for years to come. So don't let it ruin the rest of your life. Oy vavoy. Okay, guys, we have more questions, but what we're going to do is we're actually going to hit the pause button. And on our next episode, we're going to get into a nice long conversation about what do we do with the house? Because that came up a lot. So let's go ahead and let's segue into our favorite part of the show, which is our rapid fire 5 questions, otherwise known as decline to comment.
Okay, Andrea, I am ready for my 5 questions for you. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Ice cream or gelato?
Gelato.
Would you rather have bad hair or a bad outfit?
Outfit.
Are you more of a speakerphone person or earbuds?
Speaker.
FaceTime or a phone call?
FaceTime.
Scary movie or sad movie?
Oh, God, sad. I hate all of this.
Okay, you're done.
I'm nervous. Okay, Morgan, are you ready to decline to comment?
I'm ready.
Mm-mm-mm. Morgan, is there something in your house that your husband loves but you hate?
The snowblower.
Last junk food consumed?
Chocolate chips, always.
Really? I love that. The last restaurant you went to?
I went to a taco place last night.
We need the name. We need details.
Can't do it. Declined to comment.
Oh, man. It was Taco Bell. I know it. Ever cried from a haircut?
Oh, 100%.
And this is a question just for me, but have you watched Inventing Anna?
In the middle of it right now.
Ah, oh, so good. Congratulations. You only declined to comment on going to Taco Bell.
The bean burrito, Andrea. I didn't want to share it.
My God. But like, okay, first we should end this. But what would Anna Delphi say if she was at Taco Bell?
This is junk.
She's like, this is junk. You all look poor. Oh, the money's not going through. Oh, you know what? There's a bank issue. I'll wire you the money.
Give me the tacos now.
Yeah, exactly. I demand my tacos. I love Anna Delphi. And you guys, even Anna Delphi went through hard times. So we sit here with Inventing Anna in our hearts while she rots in prison, we get it. We know that this is hard. We're sorry that you are hurting. But we know that there is light at the end of that tunnel, and we are here to support you and entertain you along the way.
And ultimately, we're here really to help you not to suck at divorce. So please visit our website, hownottosuckatdivorce.com, for more information about how to reach us. But specifically, you can reach me, Morgan Stogstill, at Divorce Attorney Chicago on Instagram. Andrea, what about you?
You can follow me along on Instagram at @TheAndreaRappaport. And message both of us, any of us, all of us with questions that you have, something that you want to hear that you haven't heard yet on the show, or really anything and everything. We respond to everybody.
That's right. And everyone, tell your friends, tell your book club, even tell your ex about it. We don't care. We just want to have people listening and have people not suck at divorce.
Tell Brenda and James. Brenda and James, and guys, especially if you have any friends in the great state of Wyoming, tell them. Right. We're looking for you. We are looking for you. Guys, keep in mind that sometimes it is day by day.
Or even hour by hour.
That's right. But we're here for you.
You've got this and we've got you. Signing off until next time.